So at the very bottom of Kuf Ayin Beis, the Gemara had mentioned an idea of Abaye, that Abaye proved from our Mishnah, L'nefila lo chayshinan. We're not worried that if someone has a document made out to him, that it would drop from him and someone else with the same name would find it. So the Gemara now asks, V'elahad Tanya, but what about what we have in the following Braisa? Again, Kufayin Gimel, Amud Aleph. The Braisa is talking about a town where there are people by the name of Yosef ben Shimon living in the town. And the Braisa says, Kashem she'en motzi and shtar chov zel zeh. The same way the Yosef ben Shimon can't produce a document against another Yosef ben Shimon. As Fred asked yesterday, why not? So the Rashbam explains, because the Yosef ben Shimon that the document is against him will say, really, it was my document, you had already paid me, I gave you back the document, and now you're trying to collect a second time, you're trying to collect from me to get your money back. So the Bryce says, the Yosef ben Shimon's can't produce documents against each other. And this Bryce says, Kach ein motzi en al acherin. They also can't produce a document against others. So that sounds like l'nefila chayshinan. We are worried that it might have fallen from one and been picked up by the other. So according to you, Abaye, that you say that l'nefila lo chayshinan, we're not worried that a person's going to drop a document and someone else will pick it up, then what's the argument between the Braisa and the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if there's a town with two Yosef ben Shimons, one Yosef ben Shimon can release a document against Dan ben Ruvain. The Braisa says that Yosef ben Shimon can produce a document against Dan ben Ruvain. So the Gemara says like this, everybody agrees really that there's no worry that a document will fall from one person and be picked up by somebody else who has the same name. Do we need to call Chaim?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. What's that?
Busy morning with the water.
Busy morning, yeah, I'm sorry.
It would be funny if the name of the business is the same, Chaim Ben, whatever. The three of them there in the court.
So you got to call it.
Oh, that's mine. No, it's mine. Oh, it's mine. Oh, I called you. I don't know. You love me, that's right.
Oh, that's, we all do.
It's hard not to.
So again, we're talking about this question of l'nefila chayshinan. Are we worried that a document would fall from someone and someone else with the same name pick it up? Or someone else with a different name with the same name would pick it up. So what's the argument? Abaye holds l'nefila lo chayshinan. So the Gemara is like this, l'nefila lo chayshinan. We're not worried that the document fell. So what's our concern? Maybe Yosef ben Shimon made the document, and actually he handed it over to the other Yosef ben Shimon. So the question is, Bosios Niklas ben Masira Kamiflugi. The question is, can you transfer a document by merely handing it over to somebody else? The document says Jason owes Zev money. If Zev gives it to Baruch, does Jason now owe money to Baruch? Or does that not work? The only way to transfer ownership of a document and what's in it is to create a new document saying that Jason now owes money to Baruch. But a handover alone is not enough. That's the argument. Tana Didan Savar Artana, who says that Yosef ben Shimon can't produce a loan document against Adan ben Ruvain. That's because he holds Osios, Niknos, Bimasira. He holds that a document can be handed over to a second person. So he says like this, so even if this document was made for one Yosef ben Shimon, and he now handed it to the second Yosef ben Shimon, that's okay, the second Yosef ben Shimon now owns it, so it can be used, it's fine. We're not worried that it fell from one and was picked up by the other. But Tana Bara Savar, but the external Tana, namely the Tana of the Braisa, holds Ein Osios Niknos B'Masira. We're not worried that it's going to fall from one and be picked up by the other. We're actually worried that one is going to hand it to the other. Maybe the other bought it. But he didn't do the right thing. He just got a handover of the document. So we're worried that he's going to try to collect with a handover of the document, but he's not entitled to, because once it was handed over to him, that's not enough to give it to him. He needs a new document to be the owner. And he doesn't have a new document to be the owner. Ibai is saying, alternatively, I could tell you, the Kuliyama Osil Stiklus Masira. Maybe both the Mishnah and the Braisa hold that we're not worried that someone's going to drop a document and somebody else with a similar name will pick it up. We're also not worried that, you know, maybe he's going to try to transfer it. It's not going to be done right. He's going to be able to collect with it. So we can't let him collect at all. No. Everybody holds that you could transfer the document by handing it to somebody else. But here there's a new issue. Here the question is, when a document was transferred to somebody else through a handover, b'tzarech lahavi raya kamiflagi, the argument is, does that other person who gets the document handed to him have to bring a proof that it was handed to him? Does he have to bring witnesses who saw the handover to him? So Tana didan savar, our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, ain't tzarech lahavi raya. If a document is handed over to somebody else, that other person doesn't need to prove that it was handed to him. The fact that he has it is enough. So that's what's going on. We're not worried that it fell from one person, was picked up by somebody else. What's the concern? Maybe the other person bought it from the first person, and it was handed to the second person. We hold up the handing of it to a second person makes it belong to the second person. What are you worried about? Where's the proof that it was handed over? You don't need proof. You don't need to bring proof. However, Tana Bara Savar, but the Tana of the Braisa holds, Sarach Lavi Raya, if you have a handover of a document from one to the other, that other needs to have proof that it was handed to him. He needs to bring witnesses that it was handed to him. So that's our fear. We're not worried, even in the Braisa, that it fell from one and was picked up by the other. We're not worried in the Braisa that it was handed from one and given to the other, but the other didn't really acquire it because there was no new document. The other one would acquire it. But what we're worried about is that the other is not going to bring witnesses, or he doesn't have witnesses to prove that it was handed to him. And meanwhile, when you're not really the real original source of the document was given to you, you need to bring witnesses to prove that it was given to you to be able to collect with it. Because if you don't have witnesses, as the Rashbam explains, we're worried that maybe you pulled it away from somebody else. Maybe the second Yosef ben Shimon just grabbed it out of the hands of the first Yosef ben Shimon and he stole it. And therefore, it's not really a kosher document. So that's why the Braisa says even to collect from others, a Yosef ben Shimon can't do. All right, Itmar. Because in terms of these issues, we learned the following. We've learned this before. Otiot niknos b'masira. The lesson is that if I have a document, I can hand it over to somebody else, and then it will belong to him just by means of my handover. I don't need to write a new document. But Abai Amar, but Abai said, that other person, Sarach Lavi Rai, has to bring a proof that it was handed over to him by me. He has to bring the witnesses that I handed the document to him to be able to collect with it. And Rava Amar, Eino Tzarech Lavi Raya. Rava says, no, he doesn't need to bring a proof that it was handed to him and he didn't steal it. We don't assume that people steal. And rather, the fact that he has the document alone is enough for him to be able to collect.
The document was transferred to him, or he's just collecting it as he's just the collector?
No. It's transferred to him. For sure. Yeah.
Even if he stole it, they call it transfer, Rabbi?
No. But we're not. The question is, do we worry about theft? Or do we say most people aren't thieves? We'd assume it wasn't theft.
Because now you're saying that he doesn't need any witnesses. So it's not.
Right. According to Rabbi, he doesn't need witnesses because we make an assumption, chazaka, that if he has the document, he's probably entitled to it. Even if it wasn't written to him, it was given to him.
Or maybe it's the wrong assumption.
Maybe. That would be Abaye. Yeah. Abaye would say you need witnesses. Amar Abaye said, "Bina minala, what's my proof that you need witnesses that the document was handed to you?" The Tanya lived in a Braisa. What happens if there's a father who lent money and he gets a loan document and the father died? But now, Echad ben Achim Shashtar Chov Yotzi Mitachas Yado. One of the brothers who's inheriting the father, he has the document. He claims that the other brothers gave it to him as a gift. And the brothers are claiming, no, we didn't give it to you as a gift. You just stole it. You grabbed it. Alav Lavi Raya. He needs to prove that they gave it to him as a gift. So my loves, the same way a son needs to prove that it was given to him as a gift on the other sons. Uadin Lachwini. The same is true for anybody. Anybody who comes with a document, and there's reason to think that it wasn't his, that it wasn't written to him, maybe his name isn't in it, or things like that. He has to have a proof that it was, that it's rightfully his, that it was given to him as a gift. And Rava will tell you, no, shiny achin. You can't bring a proof from a law about a fight amongst brothers to a stranger in brothers. Shamti mahadadi. You know, they're all fighting with each other. They're all in the house. They're all trying to grab the assets of father. So there, whether it's a reasonable claim that one brother grabbed it from the others without their permission, so then we say, you know what? Let's see him prove that he didn't. He's claiming he didn't. He's claiming they gave it to him. Let him prove that. But if you have a regular person showing up, his name isn't Zev, and he has a document that says that Reuven owes money to Zev. What's he doing with that document? He stole it from Zev. Well, we assume people are thieves. He's not in my house. We say, no, Zev probably gave it to him. So then he doesn't need to bring a proof that Zev gave it to him. We assume he gave it to him. Ikad Amri, another version. Amar Rava, Rava says that normally when a person has a document, he doesn't need to bring proof that the document was handed to him. Ina Aminala, what's my source that you don't need to bring proof? Titania, if we learned in this Braisa. Echa Mina Achim, if they're a bunch of brothers, and one of them is walking around with father's document, Shashtar Chov Yotzi Mitachas Yado, Alav Lavi Raya. He has to prove that the other brothers gave it to him as a gift. So what do you see? Achin who? When it's brothers, and they're with each other, and they're fighting with each other, Deshamti Me'adadi, where it's reasonable to say, maybe one grabbed it from the other. That's when we say that he has to prove that he didn't grab it. Aval Achrini, but somebody else, well, we have no reason why he should have a document. Well, then we don't say that he needs to bring a proof. The Abai and Abai will tell you, no, Achin et Trichale. The Chiddush is that brothers, one of them has to bring a proof when he has the document. Hakadat the Chamina would have thought, Kevin the Shamti Me'adadi, since it is normal for brothers to be together and for one to pull from the other. So then, Emam is Dor Zayir. So then I would say, maybe they're very careful with the documents because they know that they're, you know, one of them could grab it. And therefore, with the brothers, Lo Tzrichu Lavi Raya. There, you don't need to bring a proof. If he has it, it must be he got it willfully. Kamashlan, that note, with brothers, we don't say, if he has it, he got it willfully. He has to prove that he got it from the other brothers willfully.
But based on this, if somebody found cash on the street, yes, is allowed to use it then?
Yeah, all of us, right?
Cash, yeah. There's no simon. Right? I mean, there's no simon on cash. There's no sign on cash. And we saw even if somebody would write his name on the cash, it would be meaningless because the whole meaning of cash is it gets spent. So he may have put his name and he's already paid for it in the store and it fell from the store owner.
Right.
So cash, we say, whenever you find, you can keep. That was in Bava Metzia. Yeah. Yeah, that you can tell. Cash doesn't have a
sin. One whiskey can do it, so you do it so smart. One bottle of whiskey makes you so smart.
I don't know.
So the Gemara now asks.
I need two, I guess.
Ve'ela d'tanya. But now, what about the following Braisa? We have Braisa number 3. The Braisa says, remember, the Mishnah says that if you have two Yosef and Shimons in a town, they can't produce documents against each other. But Yosef and Shimon could produce a document against... Is everybody okay?
The door.
Okay.
I wanted that here.
But Yosef and Shimon could produce a document against the Dan ben Reuven. But now we saw this Braisa number 2, that Yosef ben Shimon couldn't even produce a document against Dan ben Reuven. And we said multiple explanations. Maybe Chashina and Linafila, we didn't like that. Maybe it's based on the issue of he holds Osios a Nikton b'Mesira. And the final idea that this Braisa holds Osios Nikton b'Mesira, but Tzarech Lavi Raya, and maybe he can't bring a proof. What about price number 3? Kishem Shemotzian Ein Shtar Chov Al Achayrim. The same way the Yosef and Shimon can produce a document against Dan Ben Reuven. Kach motzi and zelze. Yosef ben Shimon can produce a document against another Yosef ben Shimon. Wow, so what does this price hold? So, b'may kamiflugi, what's the argument? So the question is like this. The kost fin shtar lulove, afal pishen mal v'imo kamiflugi. The argument is, between the Mishnah and Brisa number 3, whether we write a document for a lender without, I'm sorry, for the borrower without the lender being there. So, tana didan savar, the tana of our Mishnah holds, kost fin shtar lulove, afal pishen mal v'imo. You can write a document for a borrower without the lender, so therefore we have a problem. If Yosef ben Shimon is going to borrow from Yosef ben Shimon, Yosef ben Shimon is going to come into court. He says, I'm a borrower. The lender is not here. It's okay, but I'm the borrower. So write that, Yosef ben Shimon owe money to the other Yosef ben Shimon. Yeah. So if we do that, then he's going to turn around and say, not that I'm a borrower, I'm a lender. I lent to Yosef ben Shimon. This is my document. He's going to go and collect. So that's what the Tana of the Mishnah says. You can't write. However, so right, because Tana, the Tana, our Tana holds normally Kosin Shtar Lulov, Af Pisha, in Malvimo. Normally you can write a document for a borrower without a lender. So then you can't have documents between Yosef and Shimon's. Because Zimnin da'azul agabe safra, sometimes he'll go to a scribe, Visadi and witnesses, Ramalu, and he's going to tell the scribe and witnesses, Kisfuli Shtara, write for me a document, Bina Lamesef, from Yosef and Shimon. Chavri, because I need to borrow from the other Yosef ben Shimon, my friend. Ubasa the Kasvi v'chasmile, and after they write and sign for him, Nikitale is going to hold it. V'amrele is going to say to that friend, Havli meya diyazf minoi, give me the 100 that you borrowed from me. However, Tana Bara Savar, the Tana who is of the Brisa, who holds you could have a document of one Yosef ben Shimon against the other. He holds number one, Ein Kos Ven Shtar Lulove. We don't write a document for a borrower without a lender. So there's no fear that he's going to write a document. Okay, now what about some of the other fears? That he's going to drop it? They're not worried that people are going to drop things. That he's going to hand it over? He needs a proof. So that's why this price holds, that you could even have one Yosef ben Shimon produce a document against the other. All right, next. Nimtza lecha bein shtaros, if a person finds amongst his documents, the Mishnah said, that there is a shofar saying, shtaros shel Yosef ben Shimon parua, the document of Yosef ben Shimon is repaid. Shtaros shneyan pruit. So both of them don't need to pay, because they can each claim, I'm the one who repaid. Mara says,
there's one document, Rabbi, too.
Yeah, there's one document. It says Yosef and Shimon is paid off. So each one can claim, I'm the Yosef and Shimon who was paid off.
What if there are different amounts?
There's only one document.
Oh, no, yeah, it didn't say that. It just said the Yosef and Shimon's document is paid off.
They're missing one more Ben, the grandfather. That's true. Right?
We'll get to that. So the Gemara now asks, Taima Denimtza, it's because he found this document amongst his other documents. Hello, Nimtza, but if he didn't find it, Matzi Mapik. So then, the lender would be able to go with his loan documents and collect from them. Ay, Vohanan, but didn't we learn, Velo Acher Yachol Hotzei Alein Shtar Chov, that another person, a lender, can't go collect from a Yosef ben Shimon, because the Yosef ben Shimon can claim, you lent to the other Yosef ben Shimon. I'm Rabbi Yirmiya said to Meshulashin, we're talking about where the loan documents, as Baruch points out, go up to the third generation. And since they go up to the third generation, then they are identified, and you can collect with it. So Gemara said, well, if the loan documents go up to the third generation, the receipt should go to the third generation. So Tavra Bishma Deman Kasiv. So, but the answer to the Gemara, Venegzi Tavis, let's look at the receipt. Bishma Deman Kasiv, who was that written for? Samra Voshai explained, B'mishulashim B'shtar, the loan document went up to the third generation, so it did identify which one. Vein Mishulashim Bashovar, but the receipt didn't go up to the third generation. The receipt could be either one. That's one explanation. Abaya said, no, our Mishnah is not talking about where two Yosef and Shimon's borrow from the same man. No, in such a case, that man can't collect from them. This is what's going on in our Mishnah. Nimtza Lelove. The case of our Mishnah is if you have two Yosef ben Shimons who lent money to other people. So the Yosef ben Shimon lent to somebody else. And the Mishnah is saying like this. It says that a Yosef ben Shimon can collect from somebody else, from Dan ben Reuven. But Nimtza Lelove. It turns out that Dan ben Reuven, who borrowed from Yosef ben Shimon, he has a receipt, Bein Shtarosav, amongst his documents, saying that he paid Yosef ben Shimon. It says that Shtarosh will Yosef ben Shimon alai parua. The document of Yosef ben Shimon against me has been paid off. So Shtarosh nehen pruin, and the documents of both Yosef ben Shimons are paid off. No Yosef ben Shimon can collect from him, because if Yosef ben Shimon comes to collect, he says, I paid you off. Look, the document says I paid you off. The other Yosef ben Shimon said, I paid you off. Therefore, neither can collect from him. Then the Mishnah said, Kate said, Yasu, so what do we do when we have a town with two people named Yosef and Shimon? Yishaleshu. We write the third generation. Time with the Nebraisa. Imayashneim. If they're both the same person in the third generation, it's Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov. So Kohanim. So if they are Kohanim, Yichtavu, Doros. Let's say they're both Kohanim. And they're both of the same third generation. So write the fourth generation, write the fifth generation. Till eventually you get to a point where there is a distinction and you can identify
them. I hope they have their wives not the same name, Rabbi.
That's for sure.
Yes, problem, Rabbi. Uh-huh. Yeah. I hope, Baruch Hashem, I don't have another daughter and I'll marry another Yosef Shimon. So what I'm going to do?
Tzidkas HaTzadik, Rav Tzadik HaKoyin of Lublin, says, why does the Gemara talk so much about Yosef ben Shimon?
Because
Yosef ben
Shimon.
Why not another name? So he said, because in this week's parsha we read about the tribe of Shimon, that they unfortunately committed a sin with the daughters of Midian. They weren't careful in watching their holiness from being with a non-Jewish woman. Who's the great example of someone who does watch his holiness of being with a non-Jewish woman? Yosef HaTzadik, who runs away from the wife of Potiphar. So you might think that the tribe of Shimon wasn't so great in the holiness of watching themselves from being with a non-Jewish woman. So that's why the Gemara keeps saying, Yosef ben Shimon, Yosef ben Shimon, Yosef ben Shimon. Really, Shimon and Yosef are connected. They do have the holiness of watching themselves from being with a non-Jewish woman. That's what the Tzedakah says. Next Mishnah, Omer Livno, if a person tells his son, when he's dying, Shtar Ben Shtarosai Perua, one of the loan documents that I have has already been repaid, and when it was repaid, the borrower trusted me, and he didn't demand that I give him back the loan document, but you know what, I have a problem, Eini Yodei Zehu, I don't remember which one it is. He's saying, listen, I'm dying. I want you to, you know, do the right thing. So now Kulan Pruin. So now the son can't collect any of the loan documents. Because each person can claim, I was the one who paid it off. And there was the testimony of the dying man that there was something paid off. Nimtza le'echad sham shnayim. Let's say the man who's dying has two documents. A bigger one, a larger amount, and a smaller amount. And he said that one of his documents was paid. So agadol perua. So we assume that the bigger one was the one that was paid. Hakatan eno perua. The smaller amount, we assume, wasn't paid. In other words, one borrower had two loans to this man. A larger amount and a smaller amount. So we know the dying man said, one of my loans is repaid. He didn't say that one of my borrowers is repaid. He said, one of my loans. So it can only be one loan. So we assume it is the largest loan. Maybe it was the opposite. But in terms of what the borrower can prove is at least one loan wasn't. At least one loan is no good anymore. At least one loan was paid. So the lender is at the disadvantage. He's trying to collect money. So the larger amount we assume is repaid, and the smaller amount we assume is the one that was not repaid. Right. Amar Rava, Rava taught another halacha. A man who lends money to his friend with multiple documents, And he tells the borrower, Shtar lecha biyadi prua. One of your documents is repaid. So agadol prua, we assume that the most expensive one was repaid. Katan eino prua, but that which is cheaper, we assume, is not repaid. But if he said, chov lecha biyadi prua, the obligation that you have in my hands, your obligation to me is repaid, shtaros kulan pruit, we assume that that language, chov lecha, means whatever you owe me is repaid, and they're all repaid. Amalei Ravina leRava, Ravina said to Rava, Lameata, according to your words, there's a difference between if he says chov lecha versus shtar lecha. So what about in a purchase? If a person wrote to his friend, Sadi mechura lecha, my field is sold to you. Does that mean Sadi gadola mechura lo, the largest field is sold? Sadi sheyeshli mechura lecha, if he says the field that I have is sold to you, kol sadosu mechura lo, all the fields are sold to him? So Rava said, no, hasam, in regards to a guy who's purchasing a field, yad balashtar la tachtona. The one with the deed of purchase is at a disadvantage. He's trying to take the field away from the seller. But when you have a lender, the lender's at a disadvantage. He's trying to take away money from the borrower. So that's why we always assume that the borrower is the one who's right, or he's got the best advantage. So now the next Mishnah takes us to a very important topic. It'll go on for this daf and the next daf, the topic of a guarantor. In halacha, there is something called an arev, a guarantor. We saw that there are different types of arev, but there is a guarantor. A guarantor is that Yaakov wants to get a loan from Reuven. Reuven doesn't want to do it. A guarantor comes and says, don't worry, I guarantee. If Yaakov can't pay, you'll come to me. So that makes that person responsible. A guarantor needs to pay. If Yaakov can't pay, Mishlei doesn't like it. That's right. Shlomo HaMelech said it's very unwise. Hamalve, but it's a big mitzvah to do it. It's like the mitzvah of lending money. Yeah. Hamalve is chaver olidei arev. Somebody who lent money to his friend and there was a guarantor. So lo yifram min ha'arev. He shouldn't go collect from the guarantor. We'll see. The Gemara is going to say it means he shouldn't collect first from the guarantor. But if the guarantor said, if the lender said, I'm only willing to make the loan because I'm going to be able to collect from the person I want to. I can collect from the guarantor first. Then you then you can go collect from the guarantor. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if the borrower has the money and he can pay, even if the lender had said, I'm lending with the condition that I can collect from the guarantor, lo yifram min ha'arev, you can't go collect first from the guarantor. Reb Shimon Gamliel used to say, ha'arev li'isha b'ksuba, let's say a man had guaranteed a woman that he would pay her ksuba if her husband doesn't. Vaya bala magarsha. And now her husband is divorcing her, and he doesn't have the money to give her for the ksuba. So now this guy is going to end up paying. So he's worried that the wife made a deal with the husband. Because the husband has no money, so he's worried the husband's going to divorce the wife. She's going to get his money. Then the husband will remarry the wife. So he said, after he's out the money. So he says like this. The husband... So then Yadirena Hana. Then we say the husband has to make a neder that he won't ever get benefit from the wife. Shema, because we're worried. Shema Yasu Kenunya. Maybe they're going to make a deal. Al Nechasim Shelzeh to take away the assets of the guarantor. V'yazir Esishto. And this man's going to go remarry the wife after she took the ksuba from the guarantor. So then we need to create such a thing. All right, so the beginning part of the Mishnah.
The Mishnah is giving a big opening.
You're excused, you're a Kohen, you can't do that.
That's right. So again, the Mishnah says if somebody lends through a guarantor, he shouldn't collect from the guarantor. So that sounds like, what does that mean? That if the borrower is here, we don't collect from the guarantor. It's only if the borrower is dead that we collect from the guarantor. So the Gemara says, my time, why is this so? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, because Rabbi and Rav Yosef both explained that the guarantor can tell the lender, I didn't really promise to always pay if you can't collect otherwise. Gavra ashlimakli, in other words, the gavra ashlimilach, you wanted me to make sure this person would be around.
Okay.
He's around. Now, he doesn't have any money. Okay, he doesn't have any money. I promised somebody would be around.
He will be.
He's around. So therefore, you can't come after me. So Rav Nachman said, Maskefel Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman challenged this. Hi, Dina de Parsai. This is a Persian rule. I mean, this doesn't make sense. That's not halacha. So Gemara says, no. Adarabba. The exact opposite. It's not that the Persians say, oh, the guarantor gets off the hook just because the borrower is still here. Basar Arva Azli. The Persians, even when the borrower is here with money, would go to the guarantor. So the Gemara says like this. Ela Beidina de Parsoi de Yavi Taimi Lemilsayu. This law sounds like the law of the Persians. They don't explain themselves.
Sure.
So you're saying a rule that doesn't make sense to us. A rule that doesn't make sense to us. You're saying, what, a guarantor is here. The borrower is here. He says, okay, I'm off the hook because the borrower is here. But the borrower doesn't have money. Elam Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, that's not what the Mishnah means. Ma'ilu yiparamanare, what does it mean that when you borrow with the guarantor, you can't collect from the guarantor? It means you can't go after the guarantor first. First, you have to go after the borrower. If the borrower refuses to pay, or he's dead, or he doesn't have the money, then you go to the guarantor. That's what the Braisa says. That's what the Mishnah means. If I lent to someone with a guarantor, I can't go after the guarantor first. However, but if I said, if when I lent, I said, but that's on condition that I can go after whomever I want to first, Yitbar Yiv Tchila, and I can go after the guarantor first. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna said, Minai Lorav de Mishtabed, what's the source that a guarantor has to pay? It sounds like a smachta, a guarantor. If X and Y and Z will happen, then I'm obligated. But we've learned that there's a lot of opinions that say a smachta lo kanya, that there is no obligation. He doesn't really believe in it. He doesn't think it's going to happen. He's not going to be responsible. So perhaps it's a pasuk. The Chsiv Yehuda tells Yaakov, send Binyamin down to Egypt. Anochi Erevenu, I guarantee him. You can ask him back from me. So Maskevler of Chizda, Sir of Chizda said, that's more than just a regular guarantor. That's what's called an Arev Kablan. That is a guarantor with a real responsibility, Kablanasi. Because he's the one who said, you know, give to me, or give to him, and I'm responsible for it. He's getting the loan. He's making the loan happen. Dichsiv, because there Yehuda said, no, so Yadi, give him to my hand. And then, Vani Yashavenu Elach, and then I'm going to hand him back to you. In other words, I consider it as if I got it in my own hand, and I'm fully responsible. Elam Rav Yitzchak said, the source of a guarantor, Mehachas, from the following source, Lakach Bigdo, Ki Arav Zar, he lost his clothing because he had guaranteed a stranger. He didn't know that the guy was not creditworthy. And for the sake of a stranger, he's going to end up being damaged. Then we have the other pasuk that Izzy quoted earlier. Bini, my son, if you give a guarantee to your friend, it's like giving a stranger your handshake. You've stumbled yourself in your own hands. From your own mouth. In other words, how do you save yourself? If you have money, hatilo pisas yad, you know, open up your hand, give him your money. Vimlav, if you don't have money, so harbiel of reyim, go to lot, you know, send lots of friends to him that he should forgive you and let you out of the loan. Amar Ameimar, Ameimar said, this idea of arev, that there's a guarantor to Mishtam that he's obligated, it's machlokas from Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi damar asmachta kanya arev mishtabed. According to Rabbi Yehuda, asmachta is not kona, arev lo mishtabed. So the Gemara ultimately is going to say that no, even if you hold asmachta lo kanya and arev works, as we've seen earlier, we're going to see it tomorrow, there's such pleasure that the guarantor has that he's being listened to, that pleasure is like getting value, and he therefore creates an obligation upon himself. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael.